Today's episode of the Can Be Now podcast is brought to you by Gustafson Insurance, business, home, and auto insurance made simple. For a free quote, call 503-266-2216.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
We're mixing things up a bit in today's show as we sit down with a real live DJ, DJ Rob Cummings. He's been active in Canby and Molalla area nightlife for almost 30 years. What was that? What nightlife? Well, just stay tuned. DJ Rob will tell you all about it.
And we'll be bringing you a sneak peek at the new movie from Marvel Studios everyone has been dying to see. No, not Avengers Endgame. It's Captain Marvel. The studio is rolling out its first blockbuster featuring a female superhero. Hey, it only took them 21 tries. It doesn't hit theaters until this weekend, but you can get our hot takes today, and we won't even charge you admission. But first, the news. Last year, the Oregon legislature passed a new law requiring cities with at least 10,000 residents and at least 25% of them experiencing severe rent burden to conduct a meeting to discuss causes and potential solutions to ease the problem. Rent burden is defined by looking at the percentage of one's income spent on rental costs. If you pay more than 30% of your household income on rent, you are considered rent burdened. Severe rent burden means your rent costs more than 50% of your household income. The state also implemented new requirements to track and report on communities experiencing high percentages of rent-burdened households, and the first report just came out. The results were pretty good for Canby, finding that 291 of our approximately 2,000 renter households are severely rent-burdened. That comes out to 14.1%, which is more than 10 points lower than the 25% threshold set out in the new law that would trigger a community-wide response. It's also less than the 16% the city reported in 2016, and it's lower than a number of other neighboring communities. More than 24% of the renter households in Oregon City are severely rent burdened, and in Woodburn it's over 26%. Even in Wilsonville, the number was over 17%, several points higher than in Canby. Still, that's about one out of every seven households in Canby that has to spend more than half of their income just to put a roof over their heads. That leaves less left over for food, transportation, childcare, medical care, and other necessities. It's something the state, county, and cities will have to look at as efforts continue to make quality, affordable housing available to every family in Oregon. To see the full report, visit our website at canbynowpod.com. A Woodburn man pleaded guilty this week to his involvement in a Oaxaca, Mexico-based criminal conspiracy to produce and sell fraudulent U.S. government documents. 24-year-old Miguel Maricias Lopez also pleaded guilty to trafficking methamphetamine. According to court documents, Maricias Lopez and his co-conspirators maintained a clandestine photo lab in Woodburn, where they used various computers, scanners, laminators, digital cameras, and a high-resolution printer to produce the fraudulent documents. They would communicate with customers in person and electronically via email, Facebook, and Snapchat, and receive payments via PayPal, US mail, or in person. On September 21, 2017, investigators arrested Maricias Lopez in a fast food parking lot in Woodburn when he arrived to conduct a drug deal. More than a kilogram of methamphetamine was found on his person. A subsequent search of his apartment produced additional meth and equipment used in the fake doc shop scheme. Investigators found and seized enough materials to produce thousands of fake ID cards. A review of electronic devices found in Mercedes Lopez's apartment produced evidence that the conspiracy had operated in Woodburn for more than a decade and produced and sold more than 10,000 different fraudulent documents, including driver's licenses for more than 25 states, U.S. Social Security cards, immigration-related documents including non-immigrant visas and legal permanent resident cards, marriage licenses, vehicle bills of sale and titles, and birth certificates. Maricias Lopez was personally responsible for producing more than 300 fraudulent U.S. government documents. A charge of conspiracy to produce false identification documents carries a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, and 3 years supervised release. A charge of possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine carries a maximum sentence of life in prison with a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence, a $10 million fine, and 5 years supervised release. The government and defense counsel representing Mercedes Lopez are jointly recommending a sentence on the lower end of these ranges when he is sentenced on June 18, 2019, before U.S. District Court Judge Michael H. Simon. He probably should have called it a night. Instead, 54-year-old Robert Scott Binder was arrested by the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office after allegedly crashing into a cargo van and ski boat, leaving the scene, going home to get another vehicle, then driving to a local bar. Deputies first made contact with Binder at My Wa's Restaurant at 18088 Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard, responding to a DUI call. The caller had reported a man who had been cut off at the restaurant bar and who was attempting to drive away in his white Ford F-150 pickup truck while inebriated. The caller and other witnesses had intervened and were trying to stop Binder from leaving the scene. He had reportedly had trouble at the wheel. A witness said he had mistakenly put the truck into reverse and driven onto the sidewalk, then put it into park and revved the engine loudly. As deputies continued their interviews, a connection was made to a separate hit-and-run case from Milwaukee earlier in the evening. A resident had reported that a vehicle had crashed into a van and boat parked in his driveway. Both the van and boat had sustained major damage as a result of the crash. The Mercedes van had been purchased just 2 days earlier. The man ran outside in time to see the suspect drive away in a silver Mazda, which was also badly damaged. The deputies found the vehicle, however, later that evening, parked outside a different residence in Milwaukee. The name on the registration? A Mr. Robert Scott Binder. Piecing together the various pieces of evidence, deputies believe Binder went to the Chinese restaurant at approximately 7 p.m., had some drinks and left without paying, crashed into the van and boat around 9:30, fled the hit-and-run scene, drove to his nearby residence, parked it on the curb, got into the Ford F-150 he also owns, and drove back to My Wa's restaurant, where he was contacted by deputies at for the 10:38 p.m. DUI incident. Talk about a busy night. The suspect was subsequently arrested and transported to Clackamas County Jail. He also had both his car and truck towed.
Police beat for the week of February 12th through the 18th. On February 12th at 8:12 p.m., a pouch containing drug paraphernalia and methamphetamine was found on a public transportation vehicle on Southwest 2nd Avenue and turned into police. On February 13th at 4:50 p.m., police were called after a suspect was seen leaving a store with unpaid items. Officers searched the area and subsequently located the suspect and stolen merchandise. She was taken into custody. On February 14th, Happy Valentine's Day, at 4:45 p.m., a fraud was reported involving a victim receiving a call from a suspect posing as a computer technician, directing that the victim purchase gift cards. I mean, how does that work? Yeah, hey, this is your computer technician, and your computer has a virus, so go buy some gift cards. That's how we fix that. On February 15th at 1:45 p.m., a theft was reported after an employee received a call for an unknown person posing as their manager and directing them to purchase gift cards. What the heck? I think somebody had just forgotten it was Valentine's Day and they were trying to make up by getting a bunch of gift cards for their girlfriend. Later that night at 10:26 p.m., a truck was stopped on Southwest 1st Avenue after the occupants were observed throwing debris out of a moving vehicle. They were cited for offensive littering, which is, of course, the worst kind of littering, and one passenger was arrested on an outstanding Washington County warrant. Finally, on February 18th at 6:24 p.m., an officer responded to a report of a disabled vehicle rolling backward into two parked vehicles and a fence before striking and coming to arrest at a residence on North Manzanita Street.
Go Cougars! but not the ones you're thinking of. This weekend, the Clackamas Community College Cougar Wrestling Team won the National Junior College Athletic Association National Championship, spoiling the reigning champion, Northeast Oklahoma's repeat bid. Clackamas had previously won the national championship in 1971 and 2011. The Cougars qualified in all 10 weight classes to compete in the tournament. They put on an impressive performance, winning with a school record 9 All-Americans, including 2 national champions, 2 national runners-up, 2 third placers, 2 fifth placers, and a seventh placer. The team included 141-pound Elijah Azuna of Bakersfield, California, and 174-pound Trajan Hurd of Grants Pass, who took home the national titles in their respective weight divisions. Another Oregon native, Seth Brower of Medford, placed third. Wrestling coach Josh Roden says, "This is a special group of young men who believed in a mission and knew their purpose. It is not very often that you get to work with guys who buy in, believe in what they are doing, and achieve a common goal the way these guys did." Clackamas Community College also set a new national scoring record with 176.5 points and a 24.5 point margin of victory. Roden and his staff were awarded the title National Coach of the Year for their efforts.
More than 1.2 million Americans receive internet, TV, and telephone services from community cooperatives like Direct Link. They believe that their role revolves around partnerships, whether sponsoring a local event, hosting educational classes, or investing in fiber internet technology. Direct Link is here for our community because they are a part of our community.
Beyond just working in Canby, most of DirectLink's employees live here as well. DirectLink's investment in the local area reaches past business interests and extends into the everyday lives of neighbors, friends, and families. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities. The Good Old Concertina by Henry Lawson. 'Twas merry when the hut was full of jolly girls and fellows. We danced and sang until we burst the concertina's bellows. From distant Darling to the sea, from the Downs to Riverina, has ever a gum in all the West not heard the concertina? 'Twas peaceful round the campfire blaze, the long white branches o'er us. We play the tunes of bygone days to some good old bush chorus. Old Aaron's heart may sweeter be, the Scottish pipes blow keener, but sing an old bush song for me to the good old concertina. 'Twas cozy by the hut fire bright when the pint pot passed between us. We drowned the voice of the stormy night with the good old concertinas. Though trouble drifts along the years and the pangs of care grow keener, my heart is gladdened when it hears that good old concertina." My guest today is Robert Cummings. You know him a little bit better as DJ Rob.
DJ Rob.
How are you today?
Doing good.
Good. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. So you are a full-time DJ. You don't have a real job.
Well, if you don't consider being... DJing is a full job.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just teasing. So what do you do? What is your job like? Can you tell us? Because most of us aren't full-time DJs.
Well, as a full-time DJ, I do a lot of time... Spend a lot of time downloading music.
Okay.
Okay. And just to get this straight, I buy all of my music.
Oh, okay.
I don't download it
illegally. Yeah, right. The government, like FBI, just...
Well, it's not even so much of them. It's the big music companies.
The labels.
And, yeah, and it, you know, it's frustrating at times because, you know, I do buy all my music. I buy the rights to use them.
Right.
You know, because...
Do a lot of DJs not? It's kind of a murky, unregulated water sometimes?
It is. Yeah. It can be. That's one of the things that I have prided myself in is that, you know, I buy all my music legally. I've got to buy the rights to broadcast them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people think of broadcasting radio, mm-hmm. you know, internet, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But broadcasting over a PA system, because I'm being paid for it, I have to pay for my music.
Sure. Yeah.
And so
commercial use.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's commercial use license.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, which is one thing that frustrates me about Facebook. Facebook, even though I pay for the music, I pay for the rights to use that, they keep, you know, muting it or, you know, cutting it out of my audio that
I
put up on there.
I don't know how many people realize that. So, like, and YouTube's doing it now, too. They have algorithms that will look for not royalty-free music. And
correct.
If they pick it up, they will either automatically take it down or they'll do stuff to it.
And the music,
they don't contact you. And
Well, no, they do. I've been around and around with Facebook over it because, you know, I buy my music.
Say hi to Zuckerberg for me.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, Mark. Even though you're
not there
anymore.
Get it together, Mark.
Exactly.
Yeah. How long have you been DJing?
Officially for, let's see, this is 1990, so 29 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The first time I ever DJed was a dance that I did in high school.
Okay. Tell me about it.
It was
the birth of DJ Rob. Were you going by DJ Rob then?
No, I wasn't going by DJ Rob.
Rob the DJ.
Sure. It was just Rob, you know?
Yeah. The beard wasn't quite as long.
Didn't even have a mustache. I didn't even have a mustache.
Okay. Okay. So, well, you should have brought a picture, but whatever.
Yeah. Oh, and I had a full head of hair.
Okay.
Full head of hair. So nice, long, curly, blonde hair. Oh, yeah. I miss it. But one of the clubs that I was in high school, Sky Club, I was the president of, and we had the option of hosting one of the dances. So we did the St. Patrick's Day dance. Mm-hmm. And so we decided, hey, we're going to do all the music ourselves.
Right.
I had lots of
Dropkick
music.
Murphys.
Yeah.
It would have been
not quite Dropkick Murphys, but... You know, a lot of Young MC and Run DMC. A lot of DMCs.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Did you jump at the chance to do the DJs, or did it sort of get forced on you?
Yeah, I've been a musician all my life.
Yeah.
You know, I started playing guitar when I was 6 years old.
Wow.
In fact, my parents bought my first guitar here in Canby at what used to be Mr. B's Music. It's no longer, obviously, here, but...
Yeah.
Bought me a little used 6-string guitar. I started taking guitar lessons from a lady here in Canby, and that started me out with music. I've always really loved music.
Really young, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got to start young. It's a good thing and a bad thing in that you know, starting really young, you don't have the dedication sometimes as, you know, as an older person, because you feel like it's being forced on you.
Right.
Okay, here's this guitar. You need to practice.
Right.
Well, Mom, I'm 6 years old. I want
to
play.
I want to go play outside.
I want to play outside. I want to play with my trucks, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have the internet back then, and, you know, iPads and VCRs and DVD players and stuff like, you know.
But it's the same type of thing.
But,
you have so many interests, so much energy.
Yeah, it's hard to sit down and, you know, practice it.
Right, and I have kids. It's almost like as soon as something becomes like... mom and dad telling you to do it, you just instantly don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Even if
you
liked it and wanted to do it before, like now that mom's saying it, don't ever never want to do that again.
So, you know, I kept up with my lessons for quite a while. I started playing piano when I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of went on from there. Started singing a lot when I was in junior high.
Got into
choir and stuff.
Yeah,
and
what was your voice like back then? Just as deep and bassy as it is now? Or?
That's the funny part. You know, my voice may sound deep and bassy, but I'm actually a tenor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I started singing bass, and as I went through puberty, by the end of high school, I was singing tenor one.
Oh.
So
usually doesn't go that direction.
Yeah, my voice went the opposite way. I've actually got quite a large range.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
You know, and it's... Music has just been part of my life forever.
That's really interesting. I just imagine a lot of people think DJs are people who don't know how to play music. Like, you know, they play. That's why they play other people's music. But
well, you know, the that is true about some.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but there are a lot of the guys out there. To be a good DJ, you've got to have some musical knowledge.
Hmm.
You know, you have to know how
that
music
makes sense.
Is set up and arranged, and you know how to put stuff together and. You know, you hear music differently than the average person. You know, the average person just hears a song, oh, okay, I like this beat. And, you know, I'm sitting here listening to
it. There's not a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'm sitting here, oh, okay, now this song would work well with this song, and I could lay these two, layer them together, you know, take this one in, leave that one, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
that little bit of a curse, and then makes it hard to sort of switch that off and just enjoy music sometimes?
Yes and no. You know, at times, it's hard to switch off when I lay down in bed at night.
Sure.
You know, because you get to think. But I have some, of my best ideas, you know, when I'm trying to get to sleep at night and I've got this music running through my head.
Yeah.
It drives my wife nuts because when I get a song stuck in my head, I'll be whistling, you know, or humming along while we're driving along in the car or whatnot. So,
So how did you fall into the DJ business? How did you figure out that I could make a living doing this?
Well, it actually didn't happen to full-time until about 14 years ago.
Okay.
You know, up until then, I'd been doing a lot of weddings. With being a DJ, I have a background also in pro audio, so you know, doing sound for bands, you know, any kind of live audio situation.
Yeah.
And I was hanging out with a friend of mine, another DJ, and you know, I just started hanging out with him. And one night he was playing darts, and you know, he was running back and forth trying to play darts, and I said, you know, hey, want to let me, you know, pull some music and play it? And he's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. You know, this is da 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 da.
Yeah.
You know, showed me his setup that he had there, and
yeah,
you know, that's kind of how I started out with DJing in nightclubs.
Okay.
And so I started DJing there. That was out in Molalla at the Long Branch.
Right.
My friend DJ Clint.
Yeah.
And you know, he kind of gave me my start into the nightclub, you know, scene.
Right. Molalla, huge nightclub scene, as everyone knows. So.
Well, you know, that's the funny part.
It's surprising.
It's surprising.
Yeah.
You know, there was nights that we had, you know, 400 or 500 people in that, in that place, and it was hopping just like a downtown club.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, now it's a little bit different, atmosphere, you know.
Yes. They're out not here. Surprised about that.
Yeah, out here you don't have people wanting with the older crowds, they want to hear the songs as they're played on the radio.
Right.
As a DJ, I'm required to love the remix.
Yeah.
Not required to. I just like them because they show the creative side of another guy who's usually a DJ and a producer. That, you know. And they
put their own flavor on it.
Yeah, they put their own flavor on it. And so, you know, we hear all these different versions of it that not a lot of people hear.
Yeah.
You know, now on the flip side of that, kids nowadays, they're hearing a lot of those remixes. And so they really like that. But anyways, yeah, it was a little different starting in there because you got people, they want to hear it just like it came off the radio. And, and I mean, that there's a place for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, then there's a place for, you know, the people that want all the remix, they want the quick mixing, you know, it's like you get a verse and a chorus of a song and then you're on to the next one. And then there's, you know, the other people that want to hear all 15 minutes of the song.
Yeah, yeah. The, out here, maybe looking for something a little more familiar, whereas the younger crowd wants a new experience, that type of thing. So.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, you get pigeonholed into a, people are like, well, you live in Molalla, you have to like country.
Yeah.
No, I don't have to like country.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to play country. I don't have to have it in my genre or in my my collection of music.
Right.
I do.
Right.
But, you know, when I've got a dance floor full of people that are, you know, vibing on some hip hop, some EDM, whatever.
Yeah.
And somebody comes up and says, can you play Friends in Low Places?
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry. I'll see if I can get that.
How many times a night does that happen?
You know, generally when you work, it depends on the club. Sometimes it doesn't happen at all. Sometimes it happens a lot.
Right.
You know, you get that one girl that, you know, really wants to hear Friends in Low Places, you know, because she's had a, you know, few too many Jaeger bombs and, you know, And she just wants to hear that. But happens. At the same time, it's gonna. I know it's gonna kill my dance floor.
Right.
You know, when it's 1 o'clock at night, and you know they're just absolutely hopping. They don't want to hear that.
It's not a very dancey song.
Exactly.
Well, I do think what you do is harder than people realize.
Yes, it is.
This is a little bit of a painful story for me, but like many years ago, was at a wedding. They didn't have a DJ. They asked if I would do the music. Was doing some songs, some Def Leppard. People were loving it. I got a little nervous, like it was coming up to the end of the song and I didn't have something in the wings. And I grabbed the song just because I recognized it, you know? And it was Lifehouse, Living by a Moment. And everybody, it just killed the party.
Yeah,
it was real sad. So
that,
it was deeply painful for me.
That happened. Yeah. It's really hard too, you know?
And a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah, because you've got all this music playing. You've got another song queuing up in your headphones, and then you're trying to think of two more songs to play after that.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy thing. You've got to have a huge music knowledge.
Well, thanks for listening. I don't like to talk about that much. I'm really interested in what you do, because not being a DJ myself, like, I would have guessed, like, music nowadays is a lot more automated. Like, anyone can build a playlist, really. I mean, so
you can.
What do you feel like you kind of add?
You can build a playlist. The big thing is being able to hand mix it.
Okay.
You know, like
the transitions and stuff.
Yeah, exactly the transitions. So I can take and blend that song. So all of a sudden, you know, I'm playing one song, and then all of a sudden you're dancing along or listening along, and wait a second, that's a different song.
Right.
And the idea is to get from that song to the next song
without jerky,
without them noticing. You know. Yeah. Beats messing up and, you know, or just doing a serious crossfade, which is what a lot of the playlists do.
Will do. Okay.
You know, yeah, you can run a playlist.
Yeah.
I've ran playlists before. There's times when, you know, you've got three people on the dance floor and, but you don't get the energy off of that you do when you're putting more into it.
Yeah. Now that makes sense.
So.
What kind of music do you personally like?
EDM.
Okay.
I love electronic dance music. Always have.
Exactly.
You know, I think
that's a really good impression, right? I'm very musical myself. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed.
It was. And contrary to most people's belief, it's not all called techno.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, when you tell people EDM, they're like, what's EDM? It's electronic dance music.
They think it's like a disorder or something. You've got EDM. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Exactly. Like, my grandma had that. Like.
Yeah. And then you say techno. Oh, okay, I know techno.
Right.
You know, which...
Such a retro-sounding name.
Like. Well, and techno actually describes a category of music that fits in a certain BPM range, too.
Yeah.
It's got to be over 180 beats a minute to be considered techno.
Okay.
You know, electronic dance music is usually about 128 to 140. It's in that area. It's a real easily danceable range.
Is that what you like about it?
Yeah, it is.
Because it doesn't have words or things that you can get into.
Well, it does have words, but it's usually got a lot of real driving bass.
Yeah.
You know, I love the huge build-ups, the huge bass drops, you know.
And yeah. So,
as a DJ, that's fun.
Yeah.
Because that's what gets a crowd going.
Sure.
You know, yeah, you can play some hip-hop, too, which is a lower BPM range. Yeah. And I enjoy that, too. I enjoy pop music. I love rock. You know, I grew up listening to, you know, my era is the 80s.
Yeah, classic
rock.
You know,
I love, well, classic.
People are calling it dad rock now. Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like Guardians of the Galaxy, like their whole soundtrack is called Dad Rock.
Dad Rock, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No.
But those are my jams too.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to remember a friend of mine. They used to anything that was like 80s sounded like 80s heavy metal. She was like, "Ew, 80s music," you know, and that kind of stuff. And it's like, no, that's not just 80s. You know, that's hair rock. That's glam rock. But, you know, 80s pop is what I grew up on.
Sure.
So I love that. But I do, you know, I like a lot of the 80s rock bands.
Def Leppard.
Yeah. AC/DC, you know, Joan Jett, all of those.
Right.
You know, the big ones. And I love music. You know, for the most part, if you take out opera, most opera, I'm
no,
not
no
a
No show tunes? Like, not a fan?
Yeah,
Sound of Music? Not a big dancer.
I do like Sound of Music. I miss it.
It's good music.
You know, I'm thinking opera, like, you know, the big soprano lady up on the stage. You know that, you know, she's singing, and you know your glasses shatter.
Right.
You know, that
right.
I'm not big on jazz. I'm not really into the screamo death metal.
Okay.
You know, but other than that, you know,
I'm with you for pretty much all of that. Yeah.
Country, I listen to some. Yeah. Most of the time, I have to be in the mood for country to really listen to it a lot. I've been listening to a lot more of it. You know, and that's the funny part is because when I'm doing karaoke, I sing primarily country.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried singing. I have a few rock songs that I personally sing. But,
yeah.
You know, lately, I've been really into the bluegrass.
Yeah. I love bluegrass. It's so fun. Yeah. With the banjo. I'm getting the sense from you that one thing that you really love about your job is kind of the being able to have that impact on the crowd and like kind of control. Can you talk about that a little bit? You've been doing this a long time. Like, is that really what fulfilling to you, or you love about what you do?
You really pull a lot from the energy of a crowd.
Okay. I think a lot of musicians feel that way.
Yeah. You know, if you've got a crowd that is just sitting out there going,
right.
You know, look like they're about ready to fall asleep.
Right.
You know, it's kind of boring. You know, they're just ignoring you. You know, they're playing pool and just kind of ignoring you. There's nobody on the dance floor. You know, it's early in the night. It gets kind of
hard.
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and even with, like, when I'm hosting karaoke, you know, you get people that there's nights that, you know, people are really into the karaoke and they're up and they're cheering and they, you know, everybody's singing along with you. You know, you can hear them in the background, you know, even though I'm blowing them out at 110 decibels in here, you know, and you know, so
they're doing their best.
You draw from that. Yeah. And you know, when people are really into that, you put more into it and it shows.
Yeah. Cool.
It really does.
Cool. So we're here at the Double Lot. Another big part of your job is the karaoke, which you do here for adults as well as kids.
Yes.
So your love of music being so much of what drives you and what you know, got you into the DJ business, how hard is it to hear karaoke on the regular?
You know,
that's a little bit of a dig. I know that people are often better than you might imagine, like in karaoke.
You know, I a lot of times tell people, you know, it's called karaoke. It's not called singing.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to be a professional to sing karaoke.
Yeah.
It can be fun. I took a while off. I took kind of a break from it for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got a call back in September. I got a message on Facebook from Claude. And he was like,
Claude DeCourcy, the Claude owner.
Yes. The owner of the Double Lot. He says, hey, Rob, you know, we're looking to change our karaoke program up here. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested in, you know, taking that over? Karaoke, it's always been kind of one of those things. It's a it's another avenue to make money. Is it my favorite? I'd rather be up on stage performing, you know, as a DJ. You know, that's natural. But the musician side of me also enjoys the karaoke. Sometimes you get people that are divas.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better word,
I'm a total diva.
Yeah. I can tell that about you.
Yeah,
it's the beard.
Right.
It says diva.
Why do you think the microphone's closer to me than it is to you?
Because I've got a louder voice. Anyways,
diva.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go. So you know, you do get some people in there that are, you know, think they're better than they are.
Yeah.
You know,
American Idol syndrome.
That being said, there are a lot of good singers out there.
Yeah.
You know, we have some people that come in here and some people that came in when I was working out in Nuala doing karaoke that, you know, I'm just blown away.
Yeah.
It's like, why aren't you out, you know, pursuing a music career?
Yeah.
You know, okay, they'd rather do whatever they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's fine, you know? It's like, I could be out doing something else,
too. It's nice to find those surprises, though.
Yeah, it is.
That's cool. Yeah.
On Thursday nights, though, now, we are doing a karaoke contest.
Oh. Okay.
And so that's been fun. We just started that a couple of weeks ago.
Double Lot Idol.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Be a Double Lot karaoke superstar.
Oh, okay. Better.
So, yeah, it's a non-elimination thing. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to get you on the American Idol, unfortunately. No. I wish I could offer that. But, you know, we are offering some great, you know, great prizes. We got a cash prize on it and gift certificates. And when we do the finals, which we've got several semis, I guess you would call them, leading up to that. The top three from each one of those will go into the finals, and then the winner of that one, the grand prize is a pair of concert tickets of their choice.
That is really cool that you got Simon Cowell to come out for that, though.
Yes. Awesome. He hides in the back and wears a wig, but
You won't notice him necessarily, but trust us, he is there. So.
Yeah, and you know, he's up there telling me, you know, kick this guy off stage. You know,
right.
This guy's no good. This guy.
You're not going to try the British accent. Center.
I don't do a good British accent.
Any other places people can find you if they want to learn more about your work? Or?
You can find me on Facebook, of course.
DJ Rob.
Yep. You can search me under DJ Rob. It's facebook.com/ DJ Rob 1973.
No.
1973 being when I was born, making me 46 today. And also,
happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. And shout out to Dutch Brothers for the free coffee. Dutch Brothers here.
Dutch Brothers, if you're listening, thanks.
Yep. And you can also find, I've got a website. It's www.imdjrob.com.
Cool. I appreciate having you on the show. Thanks so much.
Well,
it's awesome.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun. And I really enjoy your podcast. So.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening. Yeah, I enjoy it sometimes.
For some people who enjoy a well-brewed craft beverage at the end of a day, living in the Willamette Valley is like living in paradise. There are literally hundreds of craft breweries, wineries, and cider presses producing amazing stuff right here in our region. It actually can be a little overwhelming, but it's also very exciting if you have the right guide. That's why I love visiting the FOB Tap Room in Canby Place on Southwest Berg Parkway. They have over 36 taps of the absolute best craft beers, ciders, and wines, which are constantly rotating in a wide variety of styles. And their friendly staff has the expertise to recommend something you're guaranteed to love. They've got an awesome trivia night every Wednesday and other events happening all the time. So be sure to connect with them on Facebook so you don't miss out. See you at the FOB. The great outdoors. Sometimes you just gotta get away to a place where life is simpler. The air is clean and the nearest ringing phone is about a million miles away. One of the best places that we found is My Cowboy Cabin near Joseph, Oregon, in the heart of the Eagle Cap Wilderness.
Eagle Cap is the largest unspoiled wilderness area in Oregon, with breathtaking views of granite mountains and crystal clear lakes, and more than 500 miles of trails to explore. It's one of the premier hiking, fishing, and hunting destinations in the Pacific Northwest. My Cowboy Cabin is open from Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, and can be reserved on a weekly or monthly basis, depending on availability. With a cabin that sleeps up to 8 people,
and also a teepee that sleeps 8 or more.
That's right. It's perfect for family vacations, retreats, reunions, and more. Find out more at mycowboycabin.com. Dang it. I really wanted to like this movie. I mean, come on. It's Captain Marvel, the 21st entry in Marvel Studios' revolutionary, culture-defining war on the box office record books, and the first to be starring a female superhero. And don't get me wrong, Captain Marvel is not a bad movie. It's a Marvel movie, which, even at their worst, is still reliably entertaining, competently produced popcorn fare. That's what this is. It has great action sequences, both of the pew-pew laser gun spaceship variety and the kapow rock'em sock'em punchy variety. Top-of-the-line visual effects, a sparkling supporting cast that more than delivers, and of course that trademark Marvel humor. And I don't mean just the expected witty one-liners or the occasional wink to the audience, hey, we get it, this is all a little silly, isn't it, gags. Although there are a few of those. But there were some genuinely surprising and delightful little moments. I won't spoil them here, but I will say the combination of aliens, Samuel L. Jackson, and cats is not something I ever knew I needed in my life, but I need it so hard. So, what's wrong with the movie? Part of it is the expectations.
As I mentioned, this is Marvel's first female flick, and following the critical and commercial success of last year's Black Panther, an unfair but inevitable comparison, expectations were high for this latest blockbuster. Speaking of which, Blockbuster Video, rest in peace, gets a nice shout-out from this 1995 set film, as does Radio Shack, Dial-Up Internet, AltaVista, and Boxy Desktop Computers. Like with Black Panther, I'm going to be sensitive to the fact that this is not entirely my story. White American dudes have plenty of Marvel movies featuring guys who look like us. Well, not exactly like us, sorry ladies, but you get what I'm saying, to pick apart if we so desire. This one was for the girls, and if for no other reason than women and the younger generation now have another example of a gal who can kick butt without playing second fiddle to a leading man, I'm glad that it exists. But where Black Panther felt like its knowledge of and pride for black culture went all the way to its core, Captain Marvel feels more like its leading lady was slapped on at the end with a small rewrite. Where I walked away from Black Panther with a much deeper understanding of both the culture and struggle of black Americans, Captain Marvel did not seem to say all that much about women or femininity. Part of the problem is Marvel's stated aversion since about 2016's Doctor Strange or so to doing another origin story. And in some ways, I get it. Yes, probably movie audiences don't need to see a fifth or sixth origin story for Spider-Man. We get it. He got bit by a weird spider thing, and it gave him spider powers. But Captain Marvel has never been on the big screen before, and especially this version of the character, Carol Danvers, who was originally known as Miss Marvel, is not well known even to comic book fans. I was a big Marvel comic nerd as a kid, and I don't recall ever touching a Captain Marvel comic book. And yet, it's treated on screen as if it were a familiar story, recalled in an increasingly implausible series of dream sequences and flashbacks, since Captain Marvel herself is suffering from amnesia, a trope that is ironically even more overplayed than the superhero origin story. Most tragically, it gives the incredibly talented Brie Larson little to work with for much of the film. The movie starts with the super-powered elite space cop version of the character, then tries to sprinkle in a little humanity ad hoc through 3-second clips of her crashing a go-kart as a kid or falling off a rope in basic training. It just doesn't work all that well. In the end, Captain Marvel, the character, suffers from a bit of the Superman syndrome. She's too powerful and too morally pure to be particularly interesting. Humanizing Carol Danvers should have been much easier than Superman. She is, well, human, after all. But though "you're only human" is literally one of the lines spoken at a pivotal moment of the climax, as an audience member, I had trouble believing it. I hadn't seen much evidence of it on screen. But don't take my word for it. Check it out when it opens at Canby Theater this weekend, and let me know what you think. The only thing you can't disagree with me on is about the Ronin subplot. It was terrible, and I hated it. This weekend in Canby, we've got a lot going on. First up tonight is the First Thursday, kicking off a year of fun activities and events centered around downtown Canby and our locally owned small businesses. The centerpiece of tonight's event is Charmed with Canby, a fun new promotion involving a number of downtown businesses. Buy the charm bracelet at the Book Nook or Retro Revival, with all proceeds going to the Canby Historical Society, then have fun exploring downtown and collecting all 19 charms. I did this with my kids last weekend and had a blast. Visit our channel at youtube.com/c/CanbyNowPodcast to see the video. The launch party will be from 5 to 8 p.m. tonight at Retro Revival, so come by for refreshments, to pick up your bracelet, or to learn more about the Historical Society. Retro will also be having their First Thursday sale with everything 10% off. Also stop by Gwen's Coffee House for a spring financial refresher hosted by Oliver Insurance and Vanessa Zimmerman Academy Mortgage, featuring raffles, snacks, and drinks. At 6:30, come to the Canby Public Library to meet Michelle Nelson-Schmidt, the writer and illustrator of The What If Monster, Jonathan James, and Bob is a Unicorn, to name a few. Michelle is a motivational speaker for children and adults, and she will highlight her messages of determination, overcoming fears, and believing in yourself. finally, wrap up your night at Cuts Forest Market for wine, food, and live music with jazz duo Rebecca and Ray Hardiman. Hey, speaking of Cuts Forest, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, come by the store to see us, their first ever live event, appropriately titled Live from Cuts Forest. We'll be sharing information about the podcast and how to listen, playing games, and doing some on-site recording as we promote the new Can Be Now podcast inspired drink at the Cuts Forest Cafe, which is available throughout the month of March. Stop by and say hi, we'd love to meet you. You may even make it on the show. Later that day, it's your last chance to catch the Canby High School Drama Club's production of Our Town. There will be a 2 p.m. matinee and 7 p.m. showing. If you can, come by and support these talented young kids who work very hard on their craft. From 2:30 to 3 p.m. Saturday, catch Castletown at the library for the latest Music in the Stacks concert. This duo blends the heart and soul of traditional Irish reels with modern folk, blues, jazz, and country just in time for St. Paddy's Day. Finally, Canby Alliance Church will host international speaker and award-winning author Sarah Thabarge for two events this weekend. Catch Sarah at 1 p.m. Saturday as part of the annual Ladies' Tea held at CAC, or join the church for Sunday worship at 9:30 a.m. Sarah will be speaking during the service and will hold a Q&A session afterward. For the latest events going on in Canby, or to submit your own, visit canbynowpod.com/calendar.
True story. When we first started the Canby Now podcast, we were looking to buy some stickers, just something to help us get our name out there. We didn't have a lot of money, so we tried to do everything as cheaply as possible online. We wound up with 1,000 of these teeny tiny cheap looking stickers. Not exactly the impressive swag we were hoping for, but you know, you get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. If we had been smart, we would have gone to see Carrie at Promotional Strategies. She's a real live human and a creative genius who would deliver practical, strategic ways to promote your business on any budget. If you're looking for high quality swag that you can be proud to see your logo on, Promotional Strategies is where you want to go. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby, or online at ps266swag.com.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guest today, DJ Rob, and to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses that support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
In our next show, we'll bring you the amazing story of Olympic downhill skier Jackie Wiles, who was born in Aurora and graduated from Canby High School. 2 days before she would get on a plane bound for her second Olympic Games in Pyeongchang, she suffered a devastating injury, tearing 3 major ligaments and breaking her fibula. She'll tell us about her physical and mental rehabilitation as she works to come back stronger and faster than ever.
It was just tough because I had tried to get back for that year for the Olympics, and then it went really well and I was pretty successful, and then for it to all kind of just explode, I guess. It was hard. So the way that it all kind of happened too, it just kind of took its toll.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Canby Now, or on our website at canbynowpod.com.